The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord.
This story of the 10 lepers is what the church assigns for the reading for Thanksgiving services. And it's not hard to see why they picked that one, right? 10 people are all made well from this horrible disfiguring disease that alienates them from one another. One of them comes back and is very grateful and thanks Jesus. And Jesus affirms him and says, that's a good thing to do, to come back and give thanks. But that's a lesson we learn from very early on, right? I mean, all parents want their kids to be socialized and to have the social niceties. And so it's always fun, you know, if you ever give a little kid something, like a little piece of candy or something, and their parents are there, what do their parents always say? Say thank you, right? Because you want your kids to be nice and polite, and that's a wonderful lesson to learn. But we've always already learned it at that young age. Do you think Jesus is simply being like the dutiful parent saying to us, remember to say thank you? Maybe. And if that were a lesson that we learned more and more, that would be a good thing. But I'd like to suggest that he wanted to get something a little deeper across. I think the point of the story is about the healing. Healing at a level that was so deep, that touched the deepest needs of our hearts, that didn't just make the skin clean, but touched the deeper levels of our hearts in such a way that nobody had to tell that one person to go back and say thank you, did they? That healing so addressed the basic needs of that person's life that joy and gratitude just sprung up and they couldn't help but go back to Jesus. I think we have a little trouble getting this idea of what healing is about, how Jesus saw healing, because modern medical science and modern medical research is such a miracle and such a blessing to all of us. I mean, diseases that only decades ago would kill thousands and thousands of people now are virtually wiped away. We count on the fact that we are not going to have certain of these deadly diseases, you know, smallpox, polio, they're gone. And nowadays, too, with the advances in medical science, surgeries that used to have to cut you open and it would take a week or more to heal up from that, now they just come in with those little scopes. They have electronic robots, and they operate inside you just looking through a camera, and you are healed up in a couple of days. And we get used to that. But the trouble with that is we narrow down healing entirely to physical well-being. If our body is in good shape, then we're well and healthy, and then we're happy. And we're disappointed if the doctor can't just snap their finger and do some procedure or give us some drug and just cure us instantly, make our bodies what they should be. But Jesus looked at healing and said, we need to have a bigger picture, something bigger is going on here. And that's made clear in the details of some of his words there. When this guy came back, the one leper came back to give thanks, Jesus asked the question. He says, what are there 10 who were made clean? Interesting use of words. He said, weren't there 10 who were made clean? Their skin was cleared up. He didn't use the word healed, did he? They were made clean. He says, but this one has come back to give thanks. And he said to that one who came back, he said, get up, go on your way. What did he say to him? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. There's a difference between just having the disease cleared up, the physical wellness, your physical well-being restored, and actual healing. For that one who came back, he realized that there was something more going on than just that his skin was cleaned up. He realized that he had entered into a relationship. He had actually been seen for who he was, and he was loved. And he couldn't ignore that. There's the difference. You know, this makes sense in ordinary life. We all know all sorts of people who are just the picture of physical health, who are hale and hearty and go about their lives, but what are they doing with them? All of us, in a way, just take our health for granted and go and think it just gives us the opportunity to live exactly the way we want. Those nine who just went on their way, what did they do with their lives? I would like to hope maybe that they realized how blessed they were, and maybe they paid it forward. I don't know. My fear is, because I see it in myself all too often, my fear is once the physical ailment is gone, we just go back to whatever we wanted to do with our lives. I wonder how many went back to have that argument that they've had with their spouse for the past 10 years, and which eventually leads them to split up. How many of them went back to their little petty jobs, griping about their boss, never making a change, never making a difference in the world? How many went back and continued not talking to that brother or sister that they haven't talked to for the last 5 years, and who even remembers why? We see this all the time. On the other hand, in contrast to that, I know all sorts of people whose physical bodies are not holding together, who are falling apart, who may even be dying, and yet at the center of their hearts and their lives is there is love, and there is peace, and there is health. I've sat with people who have had to watch as loved ones lingered and waiting for them to die. It's a hard, hard thing, and people say, I've never done anything harder in my life, but yet they were able to use that time to say the things that needed to be said, that could only have been said at that time. And they say, even though it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, it was the most precious thing that I've ever done. These people are able to heal us, even though their physical health may be falling away from them. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about right here? And there will be times in our life when we need that. The time will come for all of us. The time may be here. The time may be past. Who knows? How do we access that? Well, our immediate temptation is to think with our brains, with our minds, with our reason. If we just had more research, if we just had more answers, all of our problems would be fine, would fall into place. Every time we suffer, people want to know, why did God let this happen? Give me the reason. Make sense rationally for me. And guess what? I can't do that. No one can do that. And you know why? Because when tragedy strikes our life, when trauma invades our lives, it's not our minds that are hurting. It is our hearts that are broken and hurting. And no amount of reason, no argument is going to heal your heart. Only love and only relationship will do that. And prayer accesses that. But we need to be clear here. Not just prayer in our minds. We say 95% of our prayers in our minds, don't we? We ask for specific things. We ask for specific guidance. And that's wonderful. And that's great. And God answers those prayers. But if we are going to let our hearts be accessed by the love and the relationship that can make us whole, we need a different kind of prayer, a prayer where we go beyond, deeper than our minds, and maybe just simply rest in the presence of God and let His presence heal us beyond words, beyond reason. There is a type of prayer like that. It's called centering prayer. I've talked about it before. We're going to do a workshop on it in 2 weeks. The 22nd, we're bringing in a wonderful speaker, Tom Eberle. He used to be the principal at St. Mary's High School, and now he's working for one of the spiritual masters of our day, Richard Rohr. So we're bringing him back to help us, give us a taste, an introduction to how we could access that kind of prayer, a prayer where we sit quietly and patiently with God. It's a type of prayer that works. I mean, it's not quick, it's not easy, it's not a magic wand, but I know it works. I've seen lives transformed by this. I've seen sons who have struggled with fathers who were not as loving, who were more distant than they should have been, and struggled with that for decades in their lives, be healed by this kind of prayer. I've seen people who have struggled with broken relationship and betrayal in relationship time and time again have their hearts healed. I've seen people find new meaning and purpose and joy and peace and even new direction in their life. People who have even dared to change their very careers because their hearts has been healed and they've been drawn someplace different. It's the birthright of every one of us, and it's there as a resource for any one of us if and when we need it. I've talked about Jesus saying, you know, when I'm going away from you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are going to be many dwelling places, and I'm preparing one for each of you. And our primary way of thinking about that is, that's great, when we die, when our time has come, Jesus will come back, come to us and take us to be there with him. But he wasn't just talking about after he died. I know this for a fact. The place Jesus is preparing for us is a place in his Father's heart. It is a place of love and healing and strength and safety. And any time we have a wound that needs healing, he comes to us and says, come with me. And together we will sit in my Father's house, and you will be healed and loved and made whole. It may not be for all of us at all times in our life, but I want you to know that when the need is there, if you feel the desire to explore this, there is another path. It's offered as a gift to all of us. Amen.